Okay, today's breakfast is sponsored by the Rohr family on the first yard site of Jeff's father, Chaim Leib ben Yaakov Yitzchak. It's Mavorin Svarim that a neshama is judged every year on its yard site. Neshama gets judged again. And it is so is the case on Yom Kippur. And the Mefarshim ask, what do you want from the neshama? It's no longer in this world. How can the neshama be judged after it left this world? So we know neshama goes up the first time it gets judged and whatever it needs to have for a tikkun it gets. But what happens afterwards? How can the neshama be judged post its existence in this world? And the Mefarshim explained that the neshama is judged for good and for bad based on the family that the neshama left in this world. If the neshama left a upscale family that's living a Torah life, then the neshama gets credit for that schusim, or all those mitzvahs that take place in the family. So I think it's a big schus for us that Jeff decided to share this special day with us here in the shir. That's really a testimonial to what he views as important. He could have made this any other time in the day, later in the afternoon, maybe even made it a barbecue, you know, Father's Day experience, but he decided to spend it with us here in the shir, which is an edus to what he values and what's important. That's really the biggest schus for the neshama, that it's able to be partake in the shir, to be able to be involved in learning. Jeff is a regular here in this share. I always know he's here. I can always turn to my right side and see him here. And if he's not, there's usually a very good reason why he's not here. And he's always looking to talk more about learning questions. I always get the most interesting shilas I get, the most updated shilas that I usually don't know too much about. It's from Jeff about how this works and how that works. I even get to know some of his children. I have the schus to have met his son Josh, who's a Marbitz Torah in his own right, a Rebbe who teaches Torah, which is a very special thing. Definitely not easy today to teach elementary school kids, but it's a very special thing. I get to daven minuch with him every day. I get to watch how we don't always get a minyan so fast together in our shul. So he always sits there. I usually space out, but he usually sits and pulls out a sefer and he's learning. It's something very special. And there's no doubt in my mind that all these beautiful things are an unbelievable schus for the neshama. Mr. Shem, the family should continue to share in simchas. And today and all the other days should be an aliyah for the neshama. Pasha Shlach. Yeah, I think we could spend weeks and weeks and weeks talking about Pasha Shlach, and we still won't really know any of the answers. What exactly the Meraglim mean, or who are the Meraglim? What is the story of the Meraglim? I'll try to take it some Rosh HaProkim, because, again, we don't have much time. But we'll talk about the Kliyoka. The Kliyoka points out, what does it mean in the Pasuk Shlach Lecha Anoshim? So the Kliyoka writes that if it would have been up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Meraglim would have been females, not male. Right, today there's a whole tumult because there's a frum female pilot. Everyone's tumbling, a frum female pilot. Can you imagine if there would have been frum meraglim? The 12 spies would have been frum ladies, right? Can you imagine such a thing? So the Kliyaka writes, he thinks it would have been up to HaKadosh Baruch, they would have said the women. What? Shlach Lecha Anoshim, you want men. Said HaKadosh Baruch, I want women. I'd much rather we send 12 nice, wonderful women to go check out Eretz Yisrael. Why, writes the Kliyaka? Because they have a bigger Chaviva Saaretz. They love Eretz Yisrael more. What does this mean, they love Eretz Yisrael more? As we've spoken many times about this, a concept is that the women have a much better Ayin Toif. They have a much more positive, optimistic outlook than the men generally do. So if they would have sent the women to Eretz Yisrael, they would have seen all the same flaws the men did. But women, don't worry, it's okay, we'll manage, don't worry, it's not such a big deal. So the godless of Nashim is that they have a much better outlook than we do many times. We're usually on the negative looking things, they're usually much more optimistic. So that's why the Kliyaka writes, it would have been much more kedai, so to say, to have sent women as the Meraglim as opposed to sending men. Rashi tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was worried, Moshe Rabbeinu was worried about what's going to be with Yeshua. Is Yeshua going to be able to overcome this nesayin of the Meraglim? So he davened, Moshe Rabbeinu davened to him, Ko Yeshiyacha Miyasas Meraglim, that Hashem should save you from the plot of the Meraglim. We said this word over many times, but it's kedai to review if you have a bas mitzvah or Shabbos or Sheva Brachas to speak at. So Rabbi Yaakov asks, why only daven for Yeshua? What happened to Caliph? Hashem only davened for Yeshua. What, Caliph didn't exist? You don't have to worry about Kalev. Why only Yeshua? So the Kliyaka asked this kashan. The simple answer is because Yeshua was a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. So if the Talmud comes back and says that everything the Rebbe has been preaching for years is worthless, it's a much bigger Chilul Hashem. So instead, we wanted to make sure that Yeshua, who's a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, comes back with the proper attitude. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a very famous pshat where he says because Yeshua needed the tefillahs more than Kalev. Kalev didn't need the tefillahs. Why? He writes because Kalev was married to a special woman. He's married to Miriam. So he had a good wife. So it says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, a good wife protects you from sin. The fact that he has this good wife, even though she wasn't with him on the trip, she didn't come. But the fact that he had this wife, and Isha Toiva, she is going to protect him from the Atzas Meraglim. So he didn't need the Yeshua. It was only Yeshua Ben Nun who didn't have this type of protection HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to instill that he survives.
Father's Day for?
What?
Is that a Father's Day for it also?
You take it as you'd like. I said that we know who eventually he married. At that time, it wasn't clear who he married. The question that many people ask is, so why did he have to change his name? So just daven for him. Why change his name? Secondly, what's the significance of the Yud? The Medrash tells us the Yud he took from Sarah's name, he put into Yeshua's name. What's the significance? So I think it's in Mefurash Gemara. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Shinei Shemai, the person changes his name, he's a different person. So if we change Yeshua's name, although Yeshua may have had reasons or motivation to go along with the Atzas Meraglim, by changing his name, we make him a different person. What's the significance of the Yud from Sarai to Yeshua? So Salvation discusses this. What's the mile of the Yud? So I think the pshat is because we took it from Sarah, because what was Sarah's whole life? Rashi says at the beginning of Parshas Chayei Sarah, Kulam Shavah L'Toiva. Sarah lived a life that all her whole life was terrific. Now we know Sarah did not live a terrific life. She had a very hard life. She suffered terribly. But her attitude was a positive attitude. So we wanted Yeshua to get this milah of a positive attitude from Sarah, because that's really going to decide how he looks at the story of the Meraglim, with an upbeat attitude, a positive look, or with more of a negative attitude. There's another famous piece in Sichas Musar, B'chaim Shmulevitz, we have to mention it, although it's late on time. B'chaim Shmulevitz says, what was the story with the Meraglim? We're talking about great leaders, great gedolim. How could it be they came back with such a negative report? So B'chaim Shmulevitz says that the Meraglim were worried about their jobs, job security. The Meraglim were afraid that if they move into Eretz Yisrael, they'll be out of a job. Not only will they be out of a job, writes B'chaim Shmulevitz, they're going to lose their covet. The whole greatness of being a Nasi, being a leader, they're going to lose once they move into Eretz Yisrael. So writes B'chaim Shmulevitz that because of that, Redifas HaKovet, because of that desire for glory that they had, they threw away everything. Because they couldn't take the possibility of losing their position, losing their job, they were willing to throw away everything and give the B'nai Yisrael this negative report in order so they can keep their position. Writes of Chaim Shmulevitz in his famous Sichas Musar, this is what we see, the power of covet. And again, you don't have to go too far. Obviously, we know in the world of politics, covet is the biggest problem. Everyone is doing everything just for their own honor, their own glory. No one really cares about what's right or wrong or what's better for the people. But Chaim Shmulevitz says he sees it by the Nasim. They were great people, great leaders. He does point out from the Baal HaTurim, how many people do you think each Nasi was a leader over? He writes about Baal HaTurim, they led 50 people. He was a leader of 50 people. You think you're Nasi, you think he led thousands of people. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, quoting the Baal HaTurim, he led 50 people. And the job of ruling over 50 people was too much to give up on the chance of moving into Eretz Yisrael. So he goes, just think about this. What the, you know, we talk about covet. A person has covet, he thinks he has, you know, thousands of people under him. He has a malucha. They were ruling 50 people. That was a whole shebang. And they were too afraid to lose leading those 50 people that they threw in the whole idea of Eretz Yisrael, the whole chashivas of Eretz Yisrael, and they were willing to give it all up so they can keep their covenant. In the end of the parasha, the Torah tells us about this Mekoshesh, this anonymous fellow who did some form of an aver in the Midbar. There's a Taisis in Baba Basra on Kuf Yutes. Taisis in Baba Basra tells us that the Mekoshesh did this L'Shem Shemayim. The Mekoshesh decided that we need to do something, because after this whole story, many people have an attitude that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care about us anymore. After we sinned with the Chet HaMeraglim, we're done. We're no longer Am HaNivchar, we're no longer the Jewish people, we no longer abide by the Torah, we're nobodies. So he went out of his way to show that even though we're still sinned, we still have to keep the Torah. So Rabbi Chanan asks over there in Baba Basra, so then why did he get punished? For such a L'Shem Shemayim, why did he get punished? That's Pshat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what to do with him. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu not know what to do? Because Moshe Rabbeinu never heard of a person who sinned L'Shem Shemayim before. We know people who sin L'Teyovan. They have a desire. Here he sinned L'Shem Shemayim. What do you do with such a person? So he asked the Kosh Baruch Hu. Kosh Baruch Hu said he gets Misa. But why does he get Misa? So the Torah is teaching us a very valuable lesson in life. We might have the highest and purest of intentions, but it's got to be right. You can have the most L'Shma, L'Shem Shemayim you want, and you think it's completely for the sake of Hashem's glory. But if Hashem wrote otherwise in His Torah, or Chazal tells otherwise, then it's not so L'Shem Shemayim. Many times in life, people do things, I'm doing it L'Shem Shemayim, but it's not what Hashem wants. I think it's what Hashem wants. Right? They used to ask Reb Chaim Oizer, right before the Holocaust, before the war, you know, why do you think Hashem is doing this? What do you think Hashem wants? Reb Chaim Oizer said, well, there's only one way to find out. Go ask him. So Reb Chaim Oizer used to tell people, we don't know what, you know, we think we know what Hashem wants, but if Hashem writes in His Torah, this is what we do and this is what we don't do, you got to abide by those laws. So even though you think you have a high reason for doing things, moral reason for doing things, the Torah is telling us this is not allowed. And that's why, according to many Achreinim, the Meraglim did it L'Shem Shemayim. Nesiv Shalom, Islam Rebbe writes like that, or Moshe Shtembach writes, that the Meraglim weren't as bad as we make them out to be. The Meraglim did L'shem Shemayim. They felt the Jewish people couldn't live in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is too teva, they're not ready to live teva, they need to stay on this, you know, this comfort zone of Nisan. They're not ready for Eretz Yisrael. A very L'shem Shemayim cheshbin. But the Torah is teaching us at the end of the parasha, L'shem Shemayim doesn't work. You have to do what's right. You might have, you know, pure intentions, but it has to be what's dictated by Chazal, what's dictated to us by the Torah. I usually don't read articles from newspapers. I definitely usually don't read them out loud. But I found an article which I think is worth mentioning here in this year and stump for everyone. This was an interview with Reb Osher Weiss, Menachos Osher. So he was talking about a shiur that he gave in Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to read it word for word because I don't want to take away from anything that he said and give off the wrong impression. He writes over here like this. It's an unbelievable statement from Reb Osher Weiss. He writes, in all areas, he said, Eretz Yisrael is the model, the home of Torah world and the great Talmid HaChamim and the holy place of Avodah. Yet, he continued, there's one area where those in the Holy Land might learn from their brethren in the Chutz La'aretz. That's Reb Osher Weiss. He says, each year the American Aguda hosts a Yarchei Kal in Yerushalayim, and I say a shiur there. I am amazed at American Balabatim. They are holding and learning, and they can sit on the same sugya for several days hearing shiurim from great Rosh Yeshiva. When I travel, I meet Balabatim who head straight from work to the local koil and learn for several hours at night or in the morning. And even Balabatim who've written svarim. This breed of Balabas, the Rav stated, is something we can envy. At Kan L'Shayne HaKadosh from Menachos Osher. I would just add to that, to see what goes on here, I'm sure he knows a little bit of what goes on here Sunday morning. The fact that we really don't move too much, and we really stay in the same sugya, and we really cover very little ground. But Baruch Hashem, people come, and I've heard from many people in this year, have told me they come traveling back from a simcha out of town, they'll come back that night so they can be in time for the shir. People told me they've come off the plane to come to the shir. People come when they're not feeling well. It's really an unbelievable testimonial to the type of people we have here. And Reb Osher Weiss is saying this on all of Chutz La'aretz. I would just like to emphasize in this shul, in this Young Israel, a lot of people don't know what we do here, but this is really something special about the Chashivas HaTorah that many people here, but you know, Balabatim here who spend their day working that need to make a parnasa, but what really is important to them, what they really value, is the learning that we get to do together every single week. Okay. We're holding over here in the Mishnah, in the 8th parak of Gittin. The Mishnah starts off like this. Amar lo kinti shtachov zeh. We talked a lot about the Mishnah where the husband tells his wife, here, listen, here's a shtar chayv, here's a bill. And the Mishnah says, Oishe matzasa me'achayv. That's what we're going to talk about today. Oishe matzasa me'achayv, or the wife found the get behind the husband. So the husband's sitting down. Behind him, there's a piece of paper. She picks up the piece of paper. She reads it. And lo and behold, it's her divorce. So the Mishnah says, what's the din? Karo, she reads this varehu gita, and behold, it's a get. Eina get at sheyom ala hagitich. The get is not chal until he says to her the words, hagitich. That's the case of the Mishnah. Frek di gemara kasha, ki omolo hagitich mehave. How does it help to say the words hagitich? Vohave le tlegidach me'agabe karka. But it's a problem of tlegidach me'agabe karka. What's Tlagidach Me'agabe Karka? Tlagidach Me'agabe Karka is a halacha seemingly made up by Rava, as far as I see it, made up by Rava. But Rava was mechadish that if a husband were to tell his wife, here, throws the get on the ground in a public area, middle of the street, and says, here, go take your get. She goes and picks up the get, the get's not chal. Why? Because that's called Tlagidach Me'agabe Karka. You told her to take the get from off the ground. For Omer Rava, and Rava says, Tlagidach Me'agabe Karka Lo Yamaklo. If a person does a Tlagidach Me'agabe Karka, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't work for the get's not chal. We'll have to see why in a few minutes, but the get's not chal. So, Frank the Gemara, what happened over here? The get's sitting behind the husband. The wife walks behind the husband, picks up the get, reads the get, and lo and behold, it's a get. So what? It's still a problem of tlegidach me'agabe karka. That's the Gemara's first kash. And for the Gemara, ema shel shofasa me'achayruf. So the Gemara answers, no, we're talking about a case where the get was tucked into the back of his pants. The get was in the back of his, it was tucked into his pants. So she pulled it out of his pants. So that takes off the problem of tlegidach me'agabe karka. In fact, the Gemara Nukasha, ha'bi'in avinasam biyada v'leka, but we still need to have avinasam biyada, and that we don't have. And for the Gemara, leitzricha, what's the case? The orak l'achartzeh v'sholfasa, which according to Rashi means is that the husband moved his hips. By doing so, he basically brought the get closer to her, and she took it from him. That's the end of the Gemara. Okay, that's what we're going to get to today, this whole idea of a mais and a sina. So let's just quickly see Rashi, and then we'll try to get into... very good. That's what I want to get to right now. That the Gemara set it up as two kashas. We'll have to understand each part of the kasha. So Rashi says over here, what's the Gidach Me'agabe Karka? Loya Maklum. What's interesting to me is when Rava is the Baal Memra of this halacha, Rava never gives any reason for this halacha. As far as I see, it's not a Mishnah, it's not a Braisa, it's Rava. So what's the Gemara's Kasha on Rava? How does the Mishnah stem with Rava? That's the whole Gemara's Kasha. It seems like in many places in Shas, this halacha is accepted without a doubt. We all agree Tlegitach Me'agabe Kaka is no good, even though seemingly was made up by Rava, not by anyone else, but it seems to be an accepted halacha that we don't allow Tlegitach Me'agabe Kaka.
Why?
Says Dr. Rashi. So when Rava said this statement, he didn't tell us why. What does Rashi say? Debi'inan v'nasan. You need to make a mice in the sina. So if the Isha picks it up off the ground, that's lacking in a mice in the sina. Okay, that's the way Rashi learns, both over here in Ein Zayin, that's the way Rashi learns on Daf Chav Dalet and Gittin, where the Gemara brings down the statement of Rava. But again, Rava himself, as far as I know, is never mevar anywhere how he understood his own statement. He just writes, Loi Oma V'loi Klum. That's also an interesting lashon. Loi Oma Klum, he didn't say anything. We're not talking about his amira. We're talking about the mice in the sina. It should have been that Tlegidach Me'agabekarka Loi Havin the sina. Loi Oma Klum. Right, it's a funny lashon that his amira doesn't count. But I guess what the Gemara means to say is that what he told her to do is worthless. Meaning, he told her to go pick up the get. That whole amira doesn't count for anything. But it seems like from Rashi that the reason why it's no good is because it's a chesaron in the mice in the sina. Okay. So if that's the case, how do you read the Gemara? So the Gemara walked in with a kasha that when you have the get sitting behind the husband on the ground and she picks it up, it's a chesaron in his mice in the sina. On that, the Gemara answers that no, the get was tucked away in the back of his pants. So the Gemara is a new kasha. Oh, what's that kasha? Different terminology, yet basic same premise question. So why is the Gemara changing its wording? In the first kasha, it was and now it's just which might really be the same thing according to the way we're explaining it. It's really the same idea. So we'll see in a second that it's really two different chesroinus that could be involved in the get. So let's see Rashi. Look, Rashi, Shalfasai, Shahisa Tachov Ben Chagari Lamosnov. It was tucked in between his pants and his waist. Vishalfasai Misham. And she pulled it from there. That was the half a minute of the Gemara. So, in fact, the Gemara, that doesn't help. It's still a Chasaran of Vinasa. And for the Gemara, the Arg Lechatzeho, Akam Le Mosnov Lahakriv Laget. He moved his hip and he brought the get closer to her. So the Mishayim explained that this is an idea called he's Mekariv to get to her. Even though he actually didn't give it to her, but his Mekari, he brought the get closer to being in her Rishos, and therefore that's sufficient. Okay. So the obvious kasha that the Achranim ask is, what are the two kashas of the Gemara? What's Tligitech and what's Venasa? So I put that over here from Reb Shmuel, but it's really found by Reb Shmuel's Rebbe, Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon quotes this. Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz in the Sefer Shari Chaim quotes from Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon basically says there's two dinim in Venasa. When we talk about giving a get from a husband to wife, there's two dinim that have to take place. There's one din of v'nasan merishusai lirishusa. It must come from his body to her body, or his domain to her domain. It's got to come from him to her, which means when you throw it in the middle of the street and she picks it up, it's not coming from his domain, from her to her domain.
You're saying directly.
Directly. It has to be directly from him to her. So when the Gemara answered that the get was tucked in his back, so how does that fix it? In that case, so then it's coming from his body. The get's on his body. So she's taking the get from his body. So it's coming from his rishus to her rishus. That's me rishusai li rishusa. It's on his body. So if the get would be, if he'd be laying on the ground and the get would be on his stomach, and the lady walked over and would take the get off his stomach, the Gemara is saying that would at least fulfill the element of coming from his possession to her possession. That's not like being on the street. That's coming from his body to her body. Then the Gemara had another kasha. Very nice, it's coming from his rishos to her rishos, but there's another din, v'nasan be'inon. We still need to make a mice in the sina. Where's the mice in the sina? He didn't give her anything. On that, the Gemara answered that if you make karev the get, if you bring the get closer to her, and you're misayeya in the nesina, that's enough to be called a mice in the sina. But there are two different dinim that are required in order to create a v'nasan. The only problem that I have, a shtickle, is that it's really learning at two halachas from the same words of the pasuk. According to this Mahalach, according to Reb Shimon, they're two separate dinim. There's v'nasan mesiris mirshusay l'mirshusa, and there's v'nasan an actual mice in the sina. So how exactly does the Gemara call them two different terminologies when they really learn from the same place? They really learn from the word v'nasan. V'nasan means two things. Give it miyad liyad liyada, and give it mirshusay l'mirshusa. So it's really the same Halacha really learned out from the same word. That when the Torah says v'nasan, that's what the Torah requires. That's the way most Achrenim learn the Gemara. So if you learn the Gemara like that, so then there's taka two separate steps in the Gemara. The first step of the Gemara was, it has to come from his possession to her possession, which the Gemara says was accomplished by the get being on his body. Then the Gemara said, but you need a mice in a sina.
If you have a mice in a sina, then you
necessarily have the first
phase. Usually.
So what do you need both for? You just say you need a Maisa Nesina, then that includes...
So that's what some Achreinim want to say. They want to say that after the Gemara's answer, where are we left with? Are we really left with that there's still this two dinim? That's a discussion in Achreinim, where are we left with after the Maskanas HaGemara. It could be after the Maskanas HaGemara, there's only these two dinim, there's only this one dinim, and that accomplishes both. That is such a mahalach in Achreinim, that this whole Shaka V'Taya is only the Havamina of the Gemara. It was such a shout like that. So that's the question. That's what we're going to have to try to figure out today. What exactly needs to take place in order for this get to work? What type of nesina, what type of involvement inside the husband and inside the lady are we going to need for this get to work?
Because isn't the if you just isolate the maisa nesina in this instance, it's fairly ambiguous. The fact that his hip, I mean, he could have been slipping.
Okay, so that's what we're going to get to in a few minutes.
You just look at that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. How direct or how much involvement is enough involvement and how much is not? The Rishayim speak out over here, the Ran, the Ritva, and others, that why does the husband have to say Hagitech? Again, we learned earlier that if the husband just gives a get b'shtika, that's also okay. So why over here does he have to speak at Hagitech? So we learned in the other Shurim that you always have to speak at Hagitech when there's something wrong or questionable with the act that you did. So the Ran and the Ritva say over here that this was a Nesina Geruah. Why? Because the husband left the get behind his back. So the Rishayim say maybe the husband wasn't really willing to give it as a get yet. He was kind of like, you know, storing it away in the back, you know, for a rainy day, pull it out and give it to her. The fact that it was sitting behind his back is not a raya that he was really ready to give the divorce. So when he says Hagitech, now we know what he wants to do. And according to Taisvis, Taisvis holds that the reason why you have to say Hagitech is to make sure she gets the point. So when she doesn't know what's going on, she sees a piece of paper behind her husband, that doesn't equal divorce. When she goes back and sees a piece of paper, she thinks he's just hiding, you know, the newspaper from her. She doesn't realize that that's a get, so the husband has to say Hagitech. So now the wife knows that it's a get and she knows not to come back. Okay. The Avni Melum over here is very troubled with the whole Gemara. The Avni Melum says that the Maskanas HaGemara comes out that if you mekarev the get to the lady, you bring the get closer to her, you help her be able to have it in biyada, that's sufficient to be called a venasa. That was the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's answer was that we're talking about a case of chatzir v'shofasa, which means the husband bent, moved it, he went like this, he enabled her to grab it, and therefore he was mekarev to get to her. So frektav nemeluim, if that's true, there should never be a problem of tligidech megabe karka. Why should never? Because every case, I understand, the wife lives over there, so I bring the get automatically closer to where she is. By definition, if I throw the get 20 feet closer to her, so I automatically was mekarev the get to her. Because the get was further away from her, I threw it closer to her, so now the get is closer to her. If mekarev is good enough, asks the Avni Meluim, so why, however, are you going to find the case of
Ligidech? It's missing the first
okay, good.
Part.
That's the answer we're going to say in a second. The Avni Meluim doesn't answer that. But that's the obvious question.
Because Avni Meluim isn't that close to her. It could be close to anybody.
No, but if, let's say, for example, the ladies...
I understand. It's closer to her, but it's also
closer to... But if you're going
to
learn the Gemara simply that the Maila being a Karev and a Sina fixes at least one problem of Tligitech, so why do you ever have a problem with Tligitech?
It fixes the same Karev and to her and to...
Why is that not the
exclusion of everyone?
Is that
else,
true?
I would imagine.
Is that the... I'm saying, you're learning that Tligitech is a Chasar because there's other people involved. Pasha's Tligitech is a Chasar because it wasn't a direct Nesina to her.
Yeah,
but if you can involve it...
But Nesina has to come from your Rishon.
Ah, good. That's going to be the answer.
So this is that
good, good. That's the answer. The Avni Meluim doesn't answer that, but that's the answer we're going to give today to answer that kash. But let's just see the Avni Meluim inside, because he ends up being Mechadish, a big Chiddush in the Sugya over here. So the Avni Meluim asks, he says, V'im kein lo'oilam lo'im mishkachas lo'tligitech me'ga b'karka. Asks the Avni Meluim, you'll never have a problem with Tligitech. Why? Do he efshe she'agi ha'get al-karka y'mla'i de kiruf. There's no other way to get to the karka unless you makarv it. The mikara he get biyadoi. He says, what happened? The get started off in my backyard. That's really far away from her. Then I throw it 5 feet in front of her. So by definition, I was makarv the get to her. I brought the get closer to her. Ela akarchach says the Avni Meluim doy mahani kiruv. So kiruv doesn't work. So how do you learn our Gemara? And for the Avni Meluim, a massive chiddush. He writes, Ela kishomalo haregidich b'shah shekiruv. Says the Avni Meluim, the whole Gemara works only if at the time when you're bringing the get closer to her, you say to her, Hareza Gitech. But if you don't say those magical words at the time when you're Mekarev the get, it doesn't work. He writes, Avam Kvarkirv HaGet Li Beisa Venicha Gabi Karga. Let's say you throw the get first, and now they get sitting at her feet in the middle of the street. V'achakach Omelot L'Yidech Megabi Karga, Loi Mahani. Then it doesn't work. Zok to Avni Meluim, if that's true, you got to plug it back into our Gemara. Hachanami, Arik Lechartzeha, when it says in our Gemara, that he moved his hips. The ain't el siyua the meselei abal have like my kiruv lahaget. His helping is no different than being mekarvit. Says the Avnulim, Dolei Mahani, Elokish Omelo, Ba'oyse Shor, Areze Gitech. He had to have said it at the time, these words, Areze Gitech. Avli Basid, the Ayik Lachatse, Omelah Hagitech, but if what happened afterwards, Zok the Avnulim, Loi Mahani. That would not work. Kevin Dolei Hayy Betchilo, Elosiyu, Avloi Nesina Gemur. Right, so that's the kiruv. That's how he was mekarev to get to her.
It's not kiruv in general. Why would you jump to the fact that?
Because what's the difference? Where do you draw the line of how much kiruv is good enough to be called?
In Dalai Lama, or within proximity, where she has that ability to take the get, you think there'd be an obvious.
But what do you look at the fact that if the get starts up in his backyard and then he throws it to her feet, he completely was the reason why she's able to get it now? And then he holds on to it. He went to the safe, he pays for it, he's holding on to it. The only way she has any access to this get is because he threw it to her. So that would be the greatest level of siyuah in the world. So if you see from this gemara that siyuah is sufficient to be vinasan, ask the Avnei Milumin, this should also be good.
So according to the Avnei Milumin, how does he learn the sefer that we learned last week, the whole thing about sleeping? How's that possible? Yeah. You didn't say harizei gitech. You said it afterwards when she woke up.
Right.
So how does he finish?
Is the interesting thing. We spoke for the last 2 weeks.
Right.
We spoke about the other parts of the Mishnah, and we tumbled about why isn't it tligitech. The gemara was never bothered by that. The Gemara only asked on this case, why isn't it Tligitech? We spoke about, why isn't Shtachoyv a problem of Tligitech? Why isn't the sleeping a case of Tligitech? Yet the Gemara was only bothered with one specific case, the case where the get behind the husband. It's interesting that the Gemara felt that those cases are not Tligitech, and we spent the last 2 weeks trying to figure out why they're not Tligitech, and we went through the Rishonim. Now, the Malum is coming to be masked, but specifically the case of when you're Makarevit. Okay, in the case when the husband gives the get to her, that's a full Maase Nesina. That's okay. The problem over here is it's a Nesina Geruah. The reason why it's a Nesina Geruah is because he's not doing it. She's doing it. So he's helping her do it. Says the Avnulim, when you're helping her do it, you need to have Hagidah. Now, I don't understand Pshat and Avnulim, I'll be honest with you. What does saying Harei Hagidah change? If this is called a Nesina, then it's a Nesina. If it's not a Nesina, it's not a Nesina. You know, by saying the words Harei Hagidah, what exactly changes to the Maase Nesina? I'm not sure. But the Avnulim wants to learn a big Chiddush in the Gemara. Which means, according to him, when you read the Gemara by us, that the Gemara's answer was the Arik Lechatzeh V'Shal Faseha, it's not just that's all he did. And he did that while saying the words Harezei Gitech. That's a bit of a stretch in the Gemara. If that's true, the Gemara left out a pretty important part of the sugya. The Gemara never mentions that to us. But that's how the Avnei Milum wants to. The simple answer to Avnei Milum's kasha, what many people already suggested here in this year, was that ain a chanami in the case where you throw the get closer to her. You'll have the maila of v'nasan biyada, but you're lacking the first din of nesina. It didn't come merushusa ilerushusa. So if you assume, like Shimon, that there's two dinim, and both dinim have to be met in order for it to be chalis geishin, that has to come from your rishus directly to her rishus, and you have to be involved in the giving. So enechanami, when I throw it 10 feet in front of her, I made it a kir of nesina, but it didn't come merishusa, the rishusa.
That would be relevant today. It's going to say that
if you assume
still
you can still have, if you assume that even nachta maskanas gemara, there's still these two dinim, that would answer up the Avnei Milum's kash. Interestingly enough, the Avnei Milum doesn't answer that. Instead, he comes up with this big chiddush about an amira. Yesh Lodin, if that's right, that the Avnei Milum didn't believe in this Yisoid, I'm not sure. But this L'chayra, according to the Yisoid laid out to us by Reb Shimon and other Achrayim, it would answer the Avnei Milum's kash over here. Okay.
Amira is so she knows what she's getting.
According to Tosfos, at least.
So every time you give a get, you got to tell her.
So that's the Shaila. So some people say in the Rambam Shita, they say that the Shtar reads for itself.
Only if she reads it.
No, the fact that, right, this is what we spoke about. The fact that it could be clear to her is sufficient. If Salvechik learned in Taisvis, the Taisvis Shita has to be able. Whether or not she actually does is her issue. It has to be possible. If she would to read the get, she'd know what to do, so that's sufficient. She doesn't actually have to do it.
So when you give her a Shtar, he says it's a Shtar Chov, she has the ability to open up and read it.
Right, but again, but when you gave it to her, under the pretext that it was given, it wasn't clear that this was a Shtar. She, as far as she was concerned, she was going to go home and think she's still married. And that was the way.
That's circular because the question is his intent.
I mean, no, it's not. Not according to Tosfos. According to Tosfos, it's not his intent. According to Tosfos, is what she gets from the picture.
But isn't the purpose of the Amira to make clear that?
That's a machloikis achreinim. That was two ways of learning the Rambam. That was machloikis. We were told this machloikis in the Beis Shmuel and others, and how to learn the Rambam Shita. Was it about him or was it about her? Many Rishayim learn it's about him. We have no idea what this guy wants to do. Tosfos learned it's not about him, it's about her. She needs to understand that she's getting divorced. That machloekis.
And that way
it's correct, according to the some Rishon. Okay, so we see from our Gemara a concept, l'chayra, that you need to have a mais and a sina miyodoy liyado, from your body to her body, or your messenger to her messenger, and you also have to be involved in the actual giving of the get. So we're going to do a little chazara now. Take us back to a sugya that we spent a lot of time on. But when we learned it then, I skipped three lines in the Tosfos. The reason why I skipped it was because it's much more geshmak to learn it now when we have the whole sugya. There's a gemara in Gittin Daf Chaf Aleph. Let's go with this gemara first. There's two gemaras in Gittin Daf Chaf Aleph. One of these gemaras should sound familiar because we talked about it last week in the Rambam. The gemara reads like this. V'amar Rava, also from Rava. Interestingly enough, from Rava also. Kasav laget v'nasam b'chatzeirei. Osman writes a long get. He read it to divorce his wife and he puts it in his chaser. Because of Loshtam Ratanolov. And then he writes another document where he's gifting the chaser to his wife, his soon-to-be ex-wife. Zokti Gemara, Kanoso, Miskaresh is Ba. The halacha is that she's Kaine the chaser and she's divorced with that get. The get that's placed in his chaser, which now becomes her chaser, it's all sufficient to make a chalais gevish. Well, there might have been an Amir. He might have told Adim. I'm not sure who he told what, where she was. Let's say she was there. He tells her, listen, the get, I'm putting the get in my drawer. Here's a shtar, my ton, I'm gifting you the backyard. Zakti Gemara, they're divorced. Then the Gemara goes on to one more case, Amar Rava. Huh? Yeah, it sounds like from the Gemara that he put the get there first. First he put the get in his backyard, then he gifted her the area. So we'll see in a second how that works.
We have with the Shkipimara.
Exactly, that's where we're going to go back to the Gemara of Shchemira, right? That's why we're going to have a short chazara to go back to the sugya of Shchemira. Omar Rava, one more case. Kasav laget v'nosna b'yad avdoi. This is what we talked about last week in the Rambam Shita. Let's say a guy writes a get and he puts it in the hand of his evet. V'kasav laget v'nosna b'yad avdoi. And then he decides to gift the evet to the wife. Zagdi Gemara, kanasuwa miskareshes ba. The halacha is she's kind of the Eved, and she's divorced with that. So the Gemara has a whole discussion over there. How does it work? It's a chatzam halachas, the Eved's moving. The Gemara talks about the Eved being tied up, but that's the end of the Gemara. The problem with both of these Gemaras are, is that where's the Maisa Nesina? Where did the husband make a Nesina from him to her? The husband put the get in his backyard. That's what it was. It was his backyard. He then gifted the backyard to her. How does that fit in the rules that we just learned, that you have to have a Nesina from him to her, and you have to have a Nesina that he's involved?
Chatzus Kona. It's like her, yeah, we said, if you put something into her property.
But it wasn't her property yet. Right? When he put it in, it wasn't her property. He put it into his property. He then gifted the property to her. There's an in-between step over here that we need to figure out how exactly that's going to work. Oh, very good. There's a mile over here, because he's more involved than her being involved, and that's what we're going to get to in a second. Rashi over there. Huh?
It's at least as good as Makarev's law.
Okay, good. That's what we're going to talk about.
Does the Sina Rishus help to accomplish the Nesina?
That's the question. The fact that at some point they switched ownership, is that switch of ownership enough to be create a Nesina on his part?
The Matana can be only one way, you know? So the Matana as a...
What do you mean?
Well, the transfer instance that's being done by a Matana, right? So does the Matana imply that I have to receive
it? Right, so the question is maybe she doesn't want it.
Yeah.
Who says she wants the gift? Maybe she's not interested in the gift. Maybe she says, no, thank you, I don't want it. That's a kasha. Achrayin Mas, that kasha over there in the Gemara. How does this work with Zochel Adam Shleim Afonov? Maybe she doesn't want it. The Achrayin Mas on this Gemara, how that works practically, maybe she doesn't want it. Yeah, maybe she doesn't want it. Right? There's no rye that she wants the gift. And the whole get only works if she owns the gift.
So we're assuming an Amira in that situation or not?
We don't know. It doesn't say...
The transfer of property, I mean, she wouldn't know...
The assumption of the Achrayin Mar is working with this principle called Zochin. I can gift something for you that's for your benefit, if I walk down the street and I see an object of Hefker and I know you want this, I pick it up for you, that's called Zochel Adam Shleim Befonet. The only question over here is, it's a little tricky, because owning the Chatzar and owning the Eved, although it's nice to own property, it comes along with getting a divorce. And maybe she doesn't want that divorce. What, owning property?
Owning the get.
Exactly. The get is not. The Bergamar says getting are not always such a great thing. So here it gets a little tricky about how this works. But the Achrayim deal with that over there in the Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph. Rashi, an interesting Rashi over here. Rashi learns, how does this work? So Rashi, Kansu le'eved b'shtar matana zeh. She's kaina the eved with the shtar matana. V'haget shebiyodoy, and the get that's in the eved's hands. T'havale ha'eved k'chatzera. It's like her chatzer. V'gita v'chatzera ba'an lo ke'echad. And it works with gita v'chatzera ba'an lo ke'echad. So Rabbi Asher Weiss, and Chaz Asher points out, he says, why does Rashi throw this line in? Because Rashi's bothered with our kasha. Where's all the Nesinas? How does it work with any? Where's the Venosan? Where's the Nesina? So somehow, Gittin V'yodim Bain Ke'echad is supposed to fix all these problems. It fixes all these problems. Now, when we look at the sugya of Gittin V'chatzei Bain Ke'echad, it's not a simple sugya of how exactly anything works, or how does that fix any of the problems. But he suggests, that's Pshat and Rashi. He suggests that what Rashi's agenda over here was, when Rashi's learning that's working as Chatzar, is that Rashi's agenda is to try somehow fix this problem of where's the Nesina. What's interesting about this Rashi is it's somewhat of a steer to Rashi that we learned in Daf Ayin Zayin. Just to remind everyone, we learned the Gemara in Daf Ayin Zayin where her husband was a Shemira and needed to divorce his wife. It was Erev Shabbos, and his wife, he was very, very sick and needed to divorce his wife. The problem was the get was sitting in his drawer and his wife wasn't, and his wife couldn't get to it. So how did we make this work? So the Gemara came up with an idea, let her go, be kind of the karka where the get is placed, and she'll be kind of the karka and she'll be kind of the get as well. That was the Gemara's comment. It was there as Rav also, where she should go over, she'll make a ma'aseh kinyan on the property where the get is monach, and by that she'll get the property and she'll get the karka. That's what the Gemara said. So there was a machoikis mishayim over there, how does the get end up by her? So most mishayim learned chatzar. The get sitting in the chatzar, she'll be kind of the chatzar, she'll get the get in the chatzar package deal. Rashi was a minority opinion. Rashi learned that's not the way the Gemara read. Rashi learned it was working as agaf, not as chotzer. So we spoke about why didn't Rashi learn that way. So one of the pshatim we said was the right to the famous yisoid of the shach, that you can't be kainik in your chotzer if the object is in the chotzer before the chotzer becomes yours. For example, let's say I have a piece of a karka of hefker, and an animal runs onto the karka, and then I make a ma'aseh kinyan on the karka. I will not be kind of the animal that was in the chatzar. The shach holds, you can only be kind of kinyan chatzar. Once the chatzar is yours, any new things that come in are kind of through kinyan chatzar. Anything that was there before doesn't work kinyan chatzar. So therefore they said that's a raya to Rashi. Rashi learned it couldn't have been kinyan chatzar, because since the get was there before. The only problem is, how did he learn Rashi over in Daf Chafalaf? Rashi Daf Chafalaf had no problem learning Kinyan Chatzar. Why over there did Rashi learn Kinyan Agav and here he learned Kinyan Chatzar? Okay, that's a kasha for a different day. But that's the way Rashi learned the Gemara by us. Taisus comes along over there in Daf Ayin Zayin with the following kasha. Again, let's get the scenario down. The husband had the get sitting in his property. The wife came over and made a ma'aseh kinyan on his property. And by doing so, she acquired the get and the property together. Frek Taisus a kasha. The number 7 says Taisus, the loy have a kemoy tligidach me'agabe karka, which means Taisus walks in right away with a kasha. Why isn't it tligidach me'agabe karka? What happened over here? The lady walks over, she does a ma'isa kinyan on the karka, she ends up with the get. Where's the nesina? The husband didn't do anything. The husband's not involved at all. The husband put the get down a week ago. Now the wife comes, makes a ma'isa kinyan on the karka, she gets the get. Why isn't it tligidach me'agabe karka? Now again, let's remember the two terminologies and phrases that we learned earlier. There's two phrases. There's something called Tligidach Megabe Karka, and there's something that the Gemara calls V'nosam Biyad Devaleka. If Taisus picked the wording specifically, so Taisus is asking, this is a problem of Tligidach, which means it's not coming from his Rishos to her Rishos.
What do you mean she's making a kinyan? He's giving her matana.
Right. So now the case over here was... Right, but she has to make a kinyan on it for to make it hers.
Okay, but it's coming from him.
Oh, good, good. We'll get to that. Obviously, the husband's playing a very integral role over here because she can't get anywhere without his consent. We'll see that pshat hopefully later today. But the physical part of the procedure is very much one-sided. It's very much the isha doing all the activity. So, frekta is the kasha. Why is it a problem of tligidach me'agabe karka? So, I would stop right here and say, 1 second. What's bothering Taisvus? Why is this not at least equal or better than the Gemara Daf Chafalaf? This is a chayyur, the exact, if not better, than the Gemara Daf Chafalaf. The Gemara Daf Chafalaf said, the husband puts the get in his backyard, and then he's machner, her the chatzar, that's a good enough of a nasan. Here, why is this not the exact same case? The husband put the get in his backyard, then he's machner the property, that's not a problem. What was bothering Taisus? Taisus thought that this was his novel idea. It's not so novel. It's the Gemara Daf Chafalaf. The rabbi said it twice, that you can do it this way, and it's still the nasan. What was bothering Taisus? That Taisus felt that this is so different than the Gemara over there. To which Taisus answers, and this is the real chiddush of the day. So Taisus, the kiven shahagebo me rishus habal the rishusa have kiilu nasnala. So what does Taisus seem to be saying? Taisus seems to be saying that's mamish not tligitech. What was tligitech? Tligitech meant it didn't come from my body to your body or my possession. It came from my possession to your possession. It was from my chatzar to your chatzar. This was my chatzar. And now it's in your chatzar. So it came from my possession. It didn't go in the ground at any time in between. It came directly from my possession to your possession. Nothing in between. That's the din of tligidach me'agabe karka, the way that Achrayim learned it. That there can't be any break in where the object went. It went from me to you. So it says Tosfos beautifully. It's not tligidach me'agabe karka. Why? Because it came from my possession. It was in my chatzar. Then it went to your chatzar. It happens to be the chatzar didn't change. All that changed on the chatzar was the ownership of the chatzar. But it was the equivalent of coming from my chatzar to your chatzar. So it came from my rishos to your rishos, and that's sufficient to make
it
kinyan.
Different than Rava's case?
I'm not sure why it's different than Rava's case. I am with you. It seems to be almost the exact same thing as Rava's case. So why Taisa didn't say, look at the Gemara over there? I'm not sure. I'm not sure why this was a new thing that Taisa was bothered with. If that's Pshat and Taisvis, we still have Shver. Why can't this be Pshat and Taisvis? Because what happened to the second din of the Gemara? We learned the Gemara that there's two dinim of an asan. There's mirushusai lirushusah, from my possession to your possession, and there's another din. The husband has to be involved in the giving. So Einachanami tells you this is right, that you fix the problem of mirushusai lirushusah because it came from my backyard to her backyard. But what about the second pshat in the Gemara? The second answer of the Gemara, that it has to be that the husband's involved in the giving, that you don't have over here.
Right, so you're narrowly interpreting giving that's a physical act of giving.
Okay.
Right here, it's a mental act, or it's whatever, it's his
okay,
intent.
Good.
And that's
so we'll see. True. Is that sufficient?
Wow.
Okay, good. That's what we're going to have to see. What's involved to be called a vinasa? So let's go with the more shverish pshat and achrenim and work our way up. The Pnei Shu asks this kasha. The Pnei Shu is bothered with this kasha, and he says, "My shna." He says, "What would happen if the husband's holding the get in his hand, and the wife walks over and plucks it out of his hand and takes it? Would that be a good get? No. Why not? What do you mean? It came mirushus isha, mirushus. It came from the husband's body to the wife's body. Teretz says it's not the second din of the husband has to be involved." So asks the Pnei Shu, asks Avnei Meluim, the Chedush Erim. So that's the exact same thing in the case of the Gemara Daf Ayin Zayin. Einachanami, it came from my possession to your possession, but we're lacking the element of the husband's involvement in the giving. So what was Tosfos' answer by saying, where's the husband giving anything? The husband's sitting back, not doing anything. He's not doing anything. In the case of the Gemara Daf Ayin Zayin,
he closed his hand and held on to it.
We'll get to that in a second. The Pnei Shu asked that case. He says, number eight, Kosva Taisa, Dafilum Kofza Yodai. Let's say you have a case of get biyodo, mishich biyodo. The husband puts a get in the wife's hand, but there's a string attached to the get. Means he can pull it back anytime he wants. So Taisviz, he quotes a Taisviz that says, "The inyan she'eni yochel natek hamshicha etzloi in a way that he can't pull it back." Afilu hoch einu megureshes. That's still not a good get. Why? Kivin shezeh ein oisa habal. That's not the husband's doing. That's her doing. She closes her hands so tight that the get can't be pulled back. That's not going to be called the husband gave it to her. That's called she's involved, or she's the reason why the get is by her. So here also, if she goes over to the land and does a ma'aseh kinyan to the karka, and now she owns the chatur, now she owns the get, who made the get hers? She did. Yes, there was consent of the, I'm not denying, we'll talk about that consent of the husband in a few minutes, but at the end of the day, the reason why this get is by her is because of her. She made the kinyan, she did all the actions. Where's the vinas on the husband's part?
But he put it in the chatur.
He did put it in the chatur, but let's say the husband drops the get in the middle of the street, and he says to her, go get it.
That's
not good.
That's not.
So then you're missing what?
The rishus.
There you're missing the rishus part.
The direct.
But the point. The point.
You have both.
How do you have both?
The scene by putting it in the chutzner.
But that wasn't even seen it to her. That wasn't even seen it to her. That wasn't even seen it to his backyard.
He gave her.
So Rishayim answered this. Nesina arichta. There is such a pshat in Rishayim. They use this term nesina arichta. One long giving. We'll have to talk to that. We'll talk about what that means exactly. But there is such a pshat. So let's deal with the Pnei Yeshua first, because he's probably the hardest to understand. So the Pnei Yeshua says, I don't understand. Why in the case of Gittin Davayin Zayin is that any better? Very nice. The lady goes over to the chaser. She digs the ground. That's the Maisa Kinyah Chazaka. Now she owns the ground. Now she owns the backyard. Now she owns the get. But the get became hers through her own action, not through the husband's action.
She can't just go over.
He didn't give it to her. He put it in his backyard.
He gave her the backyard. He gave it as a gift, you said.
He did gift it.
Okay, she can't just come over.
But again, and when you give her a get on the street, he also gives it to her. Every time you give the lady a get,
he
owns the paper. Well, see, the stiper talks about it. He gives her the paper. He gives her ample right to take his paper. Why is that not enough of an asina?
She can't go over to his property and make a kinyan unless he gave it to her. It's still his property.
Correct. Okay, that's what we're going to see in a second. That's how the stipler learned. I think that's the way Basha Weiss learns also. He doesn't quote the stipler, but we'll see in a second. That's the stipler's mahalach in the sugya. But let's just deal with the earlier achrenim first. We'll get to the later achrenim as the day goes on. So the Pnei Shu asks another kasha. The kasua paiskimoid. Dim haget ha'yemunach bi'ar ha'bal. Let's say the get was in the husband's hand. Upasach la'hayad. And he opens his hand. V'notlasa mitoichoy. And she takes the get from his hand. Zog the Pnei Shu enim gresheus. The be'inan shakol hanesina yehalidei habal. The nesina has to happen through the husband. We'll make this a little bit more longish. It's the second step of the Gemara that we just read, that although it's not tligidach me'agai bekarka, it's a chsar in what the Gemara calls v'nasam b'yad v'alat. So therefore says the Pnei Yeshua, how do you learn Taisvis? V'emkein hachanami, ma'ashaget bo me'ushusa l'ushusa nasa al yodo. You're right, the get's now in her possession, and it came from his possession. But that happened through her. But ma'ashanay tell us habayis ma'chzakis bo. It was by the fact that she made a kinyan on the house. Where's the husband's involvement? So listen to this Moridika Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua writes, Tohoche ikra maton enigma aidei she'omar lei chazok v'kni. Zog to Pnei Yeshua that we all misunderstood kinyanim. Kinyanim don't work by the actual pu'ula of the kinyan. We talk about kinyan many times here. We always think that the way it works is that when you do an action, let's for example, kinyan mishich, when you actually schlep the fruits to you, that's what makes it yours. So as a nation, that's not what makes it yours. What makes it yours is me saying to you, go schlep my fruit. By me giving you the permission to go schlep my fruit, that's what makes the kinyan. The physical action. But listen to this chiddush. He writes, the physical action is just to seal the deal that no one can backtrack. The whole ma'isa kinyan that we do today, says the Bnei Yeshua, is so no one can retract on the deal that they made. But the actual chalois kinyan, says the Bnei Yeshua, takes place by me telling you, go be kind.
Was this a loss between that fine?
So that's the kasha. So achrein maskelis Bnei Yeshua. We never find such a concept that the ownership starts from the time he tells to be ma'ishach. Nafkamino, let's say between I tell you to be ma'ishach until you're actually ma'ishach. Something happens, goes up in price, down in price, someone steals it. So this whole Bnei Yeshua is a chiddush gadol. This is why this is a controversial Pnei Yeshua.
The transfer of ownership happens when she takes it, but that's when he gives it to her, when she pulls it. At that point,
you want to say it's Lamafre, or what do you want to suggest?
I'm just saying, when she takes it, I have then given it to her.
No, again, you have to remember, the agenda of the Pnei Yeshua here was to answer his kasha. His kasha was, we needed to make it that the husband's involved. The answer is the husband's involved. Because even though she's doing the physical action, his words are what make it happen.
Why does he go with his property and just take it if he didn't?
Right.
Again, of course, but the question is, when the consent to allow you to do Mashiach, you're going to say that's what makes it yours?
Why does the Pnei Yeshua have to make such a radical chiddush? Why can't he say that they're both necessary components, and therefore that's his nesina. The fact that his point is a necessary component is enough to make it a nesina. That would be enough to
because,
answer his question.
Because the stipler himself is going to ask, because the stipler has a cash. He says, every single time you give a get to the lady, you obviously are consenting for her to be kainet. If I throw the get at her feet, I'm also consenting for her to be kainet. Because without my consent, she can't be kainet the piece of paper. I have to be willing to give her the piece of paper. It's my piece of paper. I'm willing for her to be kainet. So why is that ever a problem of tligitech?
No, but if there's an in-between step, such as it's lying in the Rosh Hasharabim, right. then there's a separation. Here, even if I said it and she did it a minute later, at the moment that she's doing the Mashiach, or if it's an ass, I still have to be consenting. At that moment, in other words, if I withdrew
So what about the case where he gets in his hand and he lets her take it out? What's going to be in that case? I let her take it.
I don't know why that's so obvious that that's not a divorce. Well, why do you think that? A Gemara? That's what I'm just saying that.
Yeah,
that would seem like... I thought that it meant that he didn't even know. He wasn't aware. So he was talking like this and he was holding it. She walked away and took it.
He let her do it. That's it. So we're going to have to see. We're going to have to break it down one more step in the stipler about how much involvement does the husband give her permission to do? Does that make a difference? But this is the Pnei Yeshua's
story. Because he put the get first there, then he gave her the gift. So
why would that change?
Because, I think Alpisechli is saying, so first it has to be in your Rishos, so I have to give you the Matana. Thereafter, when I put it again in there, there's a transfer of Rishos. Where I did it in the other way, I don't know, maybe we could find a reason.
Well, clearly, if I were to put the get into her Rishos.
So now confirms that when I set it up that way, it was in order to effect the transfer. And that was the Pasha, I always said the Gemara should have gone, I have to first give her a gift as a Kutzer, and then put the get.
Correct.
Here, I put the get, and thereafter I made it, and I didn't make any Amira over there. I'm not sure what it means. You know, is it Kone without anything else?
Well, we know what he wants to do. Wow. He wants to give her two things. The question is, there's a technical problem how to make this work.
But the Gemara doesn't speak about the time factors in between or anything.
Right, so that's why Rashi says some chab about Gidav Yodam Bain Keachar, everything's happening at once, and that solves all the problems.
That only comes about once he makes his Amira, but for the Amira,
I guess the Gemara doesn't tell us what the background information over here is, how much we know. So this Pnei Yeshua is by and large a Chiddush Gadol and Lamdas, but something to remember, whenever you have to be Masber, Shvesh, Shtikl, and Kinyonim, it's because I remember this Pnei Yeshua, that really Kinyonim are not about the actual Pu'ula, they're really about the amira of allowing you to be kind.
The
consent of the machne to go do a ma'aseh kinyan.
Makes sense, otherwise.
Of course, right, everyone agrees, right? So again, we're not debating that you need consent. That's what I want to bring out. The Pnei Yeshua's chiddush is not.
That's the ikar of a kinyan.
But that's when it starts. Would you say that's when it starts, or would you say it starts when you do your part?
Yeah, because there's no haba meaning that you can take it until.
Clearly,
it starts.
I would just assume consent is just what enables you to do the act, and once you do the act, it becomes yours.
That's when
that makes consummated, but it certainly starts.
That's the question over here. I think that's, again, if we ever talk about kinyan properly, we'll discuss what is ever a ma'aseh kinyan. What does a kinyan do? If I want something and you want something, we agree. Why do we have to do an act? It's almost funny, right? I want to sell you the piece of property, you want to buy the piece of property. You might even give me money for it, but if you want to use kinyan chazaka, you actually have to walk over and close the door. What does that do? So we always know the words that the Chayim use. It shows some form of Gemiras Das. It shows I'm real about it. I'm sincere. I really mean, and that's what makes it. So is that really what makes the Kenyan, or that's just to circumvent problems of like the Pnei Yeshua suggests, that maybe you want to backtrack. Now you can't backtrack because you did an action. But what really made it yours was the fact that we both agreed that we're going to sell it. That's why I think this Pnei Yeshua is an important Ma'ar Makam. The Ma'isa, the Pnei Yeshua ends off, Kei Nir Li Vadayin Sarachin. So that doesn't get us too far. He himself is not convinced that this is Pshat and Taisvis, of whether or not this Pshat even works. So that can't be Pshat and Taisvis. The Avnei Meluim has a different Mahalach and Taisvis. Also somewhat Shved. And the Meluim walks in with a bigger Chiddush and Taisvis. He writes like this. V'nira bir divrei. Of course, if you throw the get on the ground, you take the get from her hand, it doesn't work. Why? There's got to be a giver. Someone's got to give the get from him to her. If the husband's not involved in the giving, she takes it on her own. Okay, that's all what we learned till now. Said that the Meluim don't look at it as if the lady took the get. Her chatzar did it. This chatzar, till now, belonged to the husband. It was the husband's agent. Then when she goes and digs the ground, now the chatzar becomes hers. You have to look at it as if the messenger of the husband delivered the get to the messenger of the lady. It's the same person. It switched owners, but it's the same physical person, I guess, physical chotzer. The ba haget hamunach bechatzero mirushis abal. It came from the husband's possession to the wife's possession. Don't look at the wife didn't do anything. The wife made it that this is now her agent, and your agent brought it to my agent. The same way. That's what Avnei Meluim
appoint the same person as a shliach. Can I make the shliach to buy something and the other person to sell, and he just gives himself?
The bigger problem with this Pnei Yeshua, as the Imre Moshe asks, that's not what chatz b'tam shliachus means. Yeah. This is not what it means. Chatz b'tam shliach is that your shliach is doing for you. It means it's zaycha on your behalf. It doesn't mean chatz b'tam shliach. It means your shliach is giving things around. That's not what it means. What?
Did she be a shliach for the baal to be kona her own get?
Well, again, she would be a shlech lahiloch. She'd be a shlech to bring the get.
Yeah, to herself.
Could she bring... I'm not sure that would mean.
She would have it.
I'm not sure what the case would be. That's what we talked about. I don't know how that would work out. But listen to this Avnei Meluim. It's an unbelievable chiddush. So he writes, so therefore, have a ki'ilu nosen chotzer lechotzer. It was like, I put it from my backyard to her backyard. It was like messenger swapping it. It was as if my messenger, the husband's messenger gave it to the wife's messenger. No kashas.
So
there's
certainly, if she picked it up from his hand, isn't that even better?
Yeah, we think it would be better.
Right, so Rabbi Shavai asks, he says, one second. Let's say that gets sitting in her chatzar. And he walks over to her chatzar and takes it from her chatzar. So that should work. Because he took it from her messenger. It was an asina from Shluchai to her. That's for sure Tlegitech, right? If the lady walks over to the husband's property and picks the get off the property, that's Tlegitech. Why? According to this Avnei Meluim, the chatzar is his shliach. So I took the get from your shliach. So it was an asina from the husband's shliach to me. That's the greatest level of get. But that's not going to work. He assumes it doesn't work. I don't know where, he doesn't prove it anywhere, but he assumes that's not going to be a good get. Yet according to the Avnei Meluim's lomdus, that should be a good get. This is a very hard Avnei Meluim as well.
Only mechanism works when we have
maybe. But what bothers the Imre Moshe about this Avnei Meluim is, he says, one second. V'adover t'mul in his daiti. You're going to tell me that he did it in the Torah of Nasan, the husband has to give it, that his chotzer is going to be considered as if he gave it? He writes of Yeshu Kishluchai, V'atu chotzer gavrahu. Is the chotzer a person? Sheyuchali a shliach, that he's actually be a shlichus? V'li aminu chotzer mishum shlichus. When do we talk about chotzer mitam shlichus? That's only with regard to rak liknois. That's if I'm not near my chotzer, so my chotzer can act on my behalf. It can do things for me. But then my chotzer made a delivery for me. That's pretty amazing. For your chatzar to make a delivery for you, if you need to deliver this, so you're going to say your chatzar delivered it for you? Your chatzar didn't deliver it for you. Your chatzar didn't do anything. So, Frekt Imre Moshe, how are you going to say that over here the way it works is because your chatzar delivered it to her chatzar? Your chatzar can't make deliveries for you. Your chatzar can be a base kibble for you. It can accept things for you. But to give things, that's very hard to understand. So, the Imre Moshe ends up learning over here really a different pshat. He writes over here, the Imre Moshe, we'll skip down to where he writes, Val Korchach. The fact that the husband enabled her to be kind of the chatzar, because the husband made the chatzar hers, Right? The only way the get becomes hers if the chatzah becomes hers. The only way the chatzah becomes hers if the husband allows her to be kainah in the chatzah. Says the Imam Moshe, Zegufa mikrin nesina habal atzmoy. Madinasibu maknal ha-chatzah. The fact that he gave her the chatzah, he gave her the rights to use this chatzah, the nasin lo yad liknes haget, and by doing so, he gave her an ability to be kainah the get. That's sufficient to be called a nesina. That's the way the Imam Moshe wants to learn Taisus.
We said that case.
Yeah, that's what we spoke about many times. Okay, so let's talk about the stipulous mahalach and the whole sugya. The stipler quotes a Me'iri over here. An interesting Me'iri. The Me'iri writes, "Bahi the teicha v'tifcha the Gemara that she goes and makes the ma'aseh king the Gemara in Ein Zayin." Zok the Me'iri. V'chein ene b'din tligitech me'agav be'karka. Taisus wasn't the only one who had this kasha. Why isn't it tligitech? The Me'iri says it's also not tligitech. Why? Ha'ilu makne lo ha'karka. Because he was makne her the land. So that's what everyone was thinking earlier. But what do you mean? If I'm the reason that you have the chatzar, because I gave you the gift of the chatzar, although you did the actual pa'ula of the kinyan, you sat there digging the ground, but I gifted it to you, that's enough that I gave you the get. That's the lash of the Me'iri. Frek the stipler, so what? He writes, Pirish, Shigam ze nikra shabal misayeya bahanasina. That's as if the husband is involved in the giving. Kimish mikayach haknasai hu dezach sayishabah chatzar. Because again, you can only own this get if I give you the chatzar. So if I gave you the chatzar, so I'm involved in the giving of the get. That's the way I think most of us would have walked away understanding Taisus. Frak the stipler, that's not good enough. The dvar tzarech bir. The tzrichim bir. The hachazin and gabi haget atzmoy. Frak the stipler, every single time I give a lady a get, she can only be carrying the get because I'm making her the paper. The Gemara talks about, let's say the husband says, I want to hold on to ownership of the paper. I'm holding on to the piece of paper. I'm giving you the get, but I'm keeping ownership of the paper. Doesn't work. So frekt the Me'iri, so why is that not, why doesn't that always fix the problem of Tligitech? I'm giving you the get, and because I'm willing to give you the paper so you can own the paper, that's sufficient to say that I'm involved in the giving. Why isn't that good enough? If you learn the Me'iri the way most of us learned it, that the fact that I'm involved in why the get ends up by you is sufficient, so every Tligitech shouldn't be a problem. Because every single time, or at least the case where the get's, let's say, open, right? I'm enabling you, by me not closing my hands, I'm enabling you to be able to pluck it out of my hand. That's me being involved. Being involved should be good enough. Why is it not good enough? So asks the Me'iri. So Stipler comes up with a very interesting idea of how to draw a distinction between that case and the Gemara Daf Ein Zayin. And he says like this, V'aposha b'zeh, t'vada haknoz gufaget lo'imahani. The fact that I enable you to be kind of the get, that's not good enough. Why? The be'inon shemilvad haknoz haget, the husband has to be more involved in that. It's not sufficient that without me giving you the paper, you can't own the paper. I have to be involved in how the paper gets to you. But when I'm actually makni you the karka, where the get is sitting, that's the only way the get's going to be yours. That's the only way the get is going to become yours, is if I give you the property that's there. So then I'm considered a very active participant in the kinyan, and that's good enough. He writes, why? If I don't give you the karka, then there's nothing going on over here. The get is sitting in my backyard. That doesn't get us anywhere.
But so he didn't know it was in his backyard. He thought he left it in his office, sitting in his chatzer. He sold it, and
But what is the husband thinking of he's giving to the wife?
The chatzer, but it happens to be the get was there.
Right, so we're going on the Gemara's case over there where we're talking about where he knew. Yeah, the Gemara's case in Ein Zayin, where he had to get in his drawer, he had to figure out a way to get into her possession. So the Gemara said, let her go make a ma'aseh kinyan. So Zok the Stipler, why is that better than letting her own the paper? He says, because if you say, I'm going to let you own the paper, the get will end up by her without you letting her own the paper. She can get the paper by hand. He writes over here, but Va'idei haknasa hu denasa kinyan chatzah shel isha. It's in her hand. It's not the pshat. The get got to her because of me. The get got to her because she picked it up. Here the get became hers because I gave her the piece of property that the get is sitting on. So the disciple, then you're considered an active participant in the kinyan of the get. So he writes, you have to fix Taisus a little bit. He thinks that's pshat and Taisus also. That because I gave you the chatzar, that's what enabled you to be able to be kind of the get, and that's why it was considered an asina. He said, you just have to change some words in Taisus. You have to write, kivin shagebomir shusalu shusai ayideh hakna asa. Because I gave you the chatzar, therefore by me giving you the chatzar, that made me an active participant in the nasina, and therefore it's considered of a nasa. There's a great story over here from Reb Chaim and Stenzel. Usually when you read Reb Chaim and Stenzel, you don't get a story. But we'll just start the ma'isa and we'll finish. The ma'isa was, there was once a ma'isa in Brisk, where there's a husband put a get, and he put it in a purse. And he left it on the dining room table in his house, and he told his wife, take the purse off the table. So the wife took the purse off the table. So the shayla was, is this a good get or not? Can you believe all the learning that we're doing here actually was negiah halacha l'maisa once? Crazy. Who would have ever thought it, right? But as a maisa, maisa be brisk. Chaim calls it was a maisa and brisk once like this. Where the husband put a get in a purse, put the purse on the table.
Our purse or his purse?
It's, that's we're going to have to see the end of the piece.
There
right?
Was no
right? Caleb shall Caleb. But that's the shayla of Caleb shall Kech, which was Meicher. No, it was, we'll see. Right? So Reb Chaim had a whole deen over there. Is that going to be considered a problem of Kli Gidach Megah B'Kark? So next week we'll see how Reb Chaim dealt with the Shaila of practically whether or not it works in the lomas of Kli Gidach Megah B'Kark.